time for which the meeting was called has now been reached. There is a quorum present. I declare the meeting open, and in accordance with the requirements of the Companies Act, the Register of Director Shareholdings is tabled. Are there any apologies for this meeting? Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. John. Yes. I'll ask the Secretary now to read the summary of proxies received, audited and admitted for this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an extract from the audit certificate of Hancock, Woodward and Neil, dated December 12, wherein they have verified the proxies that we have received up to the closing time on Monday morning. Proxies were received in favour of the chairman of the meeting from 108 shareholders, totalling 1,756,586 shares. In favour of Sir Philip Jones, 4,992,947. In favour of the chairman of the Herald and Weekly Times Limited, 74,752. A total in favour of Sir Philip Jones, 6,824,285. In favour of Sir John Williams, 2,660. Mr. J. Elvin Knighton, 4,047,612. Mr. D. J. Riddle, 742. Mr. R. H. Sampson, 1,660. Mr. J. D. Riley, 740,698. Secretary of the Herald and Weekly Times Limited, 10,336. In favour of Mr. J. A. Calvert Jones, 20. Mr. R. Chu, 110. Mr. R. Evans, 171,413. Mr. E. Lamming, 330. Mr. P. B. Lamming, 330. Miss F. R. Lockie, 123. Mr. J. D. G. Robinson, 26,000. Mr. T. Tootle, 171,413. Mr. C. Wright, 2,200. In all, 194 proxies have been verified and are admitted, totalling 11,999,932 ordinary shares.
Thank you, Mr. Riley. I'll now ask the Secretary to read the notice of the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, notice is hereby given that the annual general meeting of the company will be held on Wednesday, December 12, 1973 at 11 a.m. in the 3DB Auditorium, 61 Flinders Lane, Melbourne. Business: to receive and consider the balance sheet and accounts and the report of the directors and auditors. To elect directors: Mr. A.K. Thomas, Mr. D.J. Riddle and Sir Philip Jones retire by rotation and are eligible for and offer themselves for re-election. By order of the Board, J.D. Riley, Secretary, on November 21, 1973.
Will the Secretary please read the minutes of the last annual general meeting held on Wednesday, December 13, 1972.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Minutes of the annual general meeting of the shareholders of the Herald and Weekly Times Limited held in the 3DB Auditorium, 61 Flinders Lane, Melbourne, on Wednesday, December 13, 1972 at 11 a.m. Presence of Philip Jones, Chairman of Directors, and 126 shareholders, including the directors, were in attendance, representing in all 533,896 ordinary shares. Proxies were tabled and admitted in favour of the chairman of the meeting, 2,087,053. Sir Philip Jones, 4,281,252. The chairman of the Herald and Weekly Times Limited, 138,063. Sir John Williams, 7,930. Mr. J. Elvin Knighton, 2,872,625. Mr. D. J. Riddle, 1,125. Mr. R. H. Sampson, 800. Mr. A. K. Thomas, 19,333. Mr. J.C.A. Waters, 2,300. Mr. J.D. Riley, 7,144. The Secretary of the Herald and Weekly Times, 6,862. Mr. J.J. Breen, 11,250. Mr. J.A. Calvert Jones, 500. Mr. M.K. Dixon and Mr. W.T. Dixon, 100. Mr. E. A. Hart, 300, Mr. J. H. Horn, 3,000, Mr. T. A. S. James, 7,400, Mr. G. McCauley, 200, Mr. J. McDougall, 1,374, Mr. J. D. G. Robinson, 23,000. In all, 325 proxies totaling 9,471,611 ordinary shares. Notice of the meeting resolved on the motion of Mr. A.H. Bryden and seconded by Mr. B.J. Hosking that the notice of meeting having been circulated to all shareholders be taken as read, carried unanimously. Confirmation of the minutes. The minutes of the annual general meeting held on Wednesday, December 8, 1971 were read by the Secretary and signed by the Chairman as a correct record. Resolved on the motion of Mr. N. L. McFadden, seconded by Mr. F. K. Matthews, that the minutes of the extraordinary general meeting of members and the minutes of the meeting of the preference shareholders held on Wednesday, September 27, 1972, be confirmed and signed by the Chairman as a correct record. Adoption of report and balance sheets. In moving the adoption of the report and balance sheets, Sir Philip Jones said, Mr. Chairman, may we seek the permission of the meeting to not read the Chairman's review again this year as it was distributed to all shareholders after last year's annual meeting.
Is that in order, ladies and gentlemen, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir Philip Jones' motion for the adoption of the report and balance sheet was seconded by Mr. D.C. Barrington and carried unanimously. Retiring directors and re-elections. Resolved on the motion of Mr. F.C. Flowers and seconded by Mr. K.H. Marsh that Mr. John Langdon Benython be re-elected director, carried unanimously. Resolved on the motion of Mr. K.S. Cairns and seconded by Mr. C. Kingston that Sir Philip Frederick Jones be re-elected a director, carried unanimously. Resolved on the motion of Mr. G. A. Palmer and seconded by Mr. R. A. Emonds that in accordance with Section 121, bracket 6 of the Companies Act 1961, Mr. John Carl Anthony Waters be reappointed a director to hold office until the conclusion of the next annual general meeting of the company, carried unanimously. Resolved on the motion of Mr. D. E. Bowman and seconded by Mr. A. L. Green that in accordance with Clause 85 of the Articles of Association, Mr. Richard Henry Sampson be elected a director, carried unanimously. Resolved on the motion of Mr. K.V. Mattingly, seconded by Mr. J.F. Breen, that in accordance with Clause 85 of the Articles of Association, Mr. Ernest James Lyle Turnbull be elected a director, carried unanimously. Director's remuneration. Resolved on the motion of Mr. D.W. Lockwood and seconded by Mr. J.C. Clark, that the remuneration of each director be increased from $3,000 per annum to $5,000 per annum as from October 1, 1972, carried unanimously. Appointment of auditors. Resolved on the motion of Mr. G. C. McComas and seconded by Mr. H. C. Gray that Hancock, Woodward and Neal, Chartered Accountants, be appointed auditors of the Herald and Weekly Times Limited in accordance with Section 166 of the Companies Act 1961. Proposed ordinary resolutions. The Chairman explained to shareholders reasons for the following proposed resolutions. Mr. Chairman, if it's the wish of the meeting, may we seek permission to not read the full resolutions concerning the capital reorganisation bonus issue and the issue to the employee's nominee, which are recorded in full in the minute book.
Is that in order, please, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Retirement of Mr. John Carter. Resolved on the motion of Mr. W. Middleton and seconded by Mr. J. L. Benython that the resignation of Mr. John Carter as a director be received with regret, and that the minutes record the thanks of the shareholders for his outstanding services to the company over the past 39 years, the last 8 of which he was a director. The motion was carried unanimously with acclamation. Vote of thanks to the board and staff. Mr. D.C. Barrington, supported by Mr. J.F. Breen and Mr. M.J. Cody, moved a vote of thanks to the directors, management and staff of the company on the results of the year. Sir Philip Jones responded. Closure. The chairman then declared the meeting closed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the minutes of the last annual general meeting. May I, with your permission, sign them as a true record?
Fellow directors.
Yes.
Do I?
Oh, I'm very happy to. On my right is Sir John Williams, Mr. A.K. Thomas, Mr. Benithan, Mr. Sampson, Mr. Riddle, and Mr. Lyle Turnbull.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next business is to receive and consider the balance sheet as at September 30, 1973, and the profit and loss account for the year ended September 30, 1973, and the reports of the directors and auditors thereon. But at this point, I'd like to tell you that your final dividend checks have this day been forwarded. Ladies and gentlemen, once again it is my pleasure to welcome you to the annual general meeting of your company. We appreciate the interest you have shown in the company's affairs by attending today's meeting, and also the interest of other shareholders in sending proxies. The financial accounts of the year have been sent to all shareholders, and you will have had the opportunity to examine them before the meeting. In the year ended September 30, 1973, the net profit from trading after provision for taxation and before bringing to account any extraordinary items was $12,305,002, an increase of $1,383,492 over last year and a record for the group. After taking into account extraordinary items, the profit was $12,306,838. The directors consider this result satisfactory in the light of general trading conditions ruling throughout the year. But it was with great regret the board reported that two of your directors decided not to seek re-election to the board. Sir John Williams, who rendered magnificent service to your company, was first elected to the board in 1953 and was chairman from 1964 until 1970. Mr. John C. A. Waters, who gave splendid journalistic and administrative service to the company, has been a member of your board since 1959. We will miss them both, and as their colleagues on the board, we want to thank them both for their invaluable and long service. And it is with great regret, ladies and gentlemen, that I have to report that Mr. Waters at today is in hospital suffering from a malady which we hope will not be long before he overcomes. But it even adds further to our regret. During the year, as with most enterprises, we were subject to some severe increases in costs. New services, wages and salaries, and associated charges for payroll tax, workers' compensation and pension fund and delivery costs were among the biggest increases we had to face. These increases will add to our expenditures by about $5 million in a full year. Newsprint costs alone rose, and supplies of newsprint have been difficult to obtain because of production problems in New Zealand and strikes in Canada. We have indeed been fortunate that we were not obliged to ration the size of our papers during the year, and it is expected that in 1974 these supply difficulties will be overcome. Total advertising revenue of the company has been buoyant during 1972-1973, and records have been established for volume in retail advertising. During February, the company launched an extended classified advertising service and achieved the target set for the early months. Revenue from national advertising was disappointing. The volume was affected by loss of production in some of the industries which traditionally spend considerable sums in national advertising. If the flow of goods from manufacturer to consumer continues to be affected by various hold-ups, the future of national advertising will remain difficult. However, it is anticipated that retail advertising will continue at a high level. The Herald continued its popularity with readers and enjoyed the best year in its history for income. However, increased costs of production, already mentioned, made it necessary to raise the selling price of the paper in May last from 5 cents to 6 cents a copy. At this price, the Herald is still among the three lowest-priced metropolitan newspapers in Australia. The Herald's re-entry into the line classified advertising in February, after an absence of more than 30 years in this field, was most successful. Because of the excellent results achieved by readers who used Herald classifieds, our line classified volume increased sixfold during the year, and is now running in excess of that ratio. The Sun News Pictorial had another very good year, with overall growth in newspaper sales and advertising revenue. Classified advertising volume continued to grow despite increased competition. However, the heavy costs of production necessitated raising the selling price of the Sun from 6 cents to 7 cents. Two Sun Aria scholarships, each valued at $2,500, were awarded to enable promising young singers to study abroad. This is in addition to the prizes of $1,000 which they received for winning the Sun Aria. Australasian Post, Home Beautiful, and the Weekly Times all enjoyed and are continuing to attract improved circulations. An increase in advertising revenue in the Weekly Times reflected better economic conditions in rural areas. Changes in the production method of the Listener Inn, TV, and the Two Sporting Globes are contemplated. These changes should make the publications more popular with both readers and advertisers. The Hawthorne Gravure Printery achieved an improvement in turnover and made a fine contribution to the consolidated profit of the company. Of the company. This trend has continued since the close of the financial year. The introduction of newsprint colour advertisements and long runs of gravure work have considerably improved the earning capacity of the printery. To ensure that reproduction in gravure printing reaches the highest possible level, your directors purchased and have on order for delivery during the ensuing year substantial etching plant. Orders have also been lodged for a further 5 units and an additional folder of gravure press to meet growing quantity demands for our gravure products. Our radio station 3DB had a most successful year and made an increased contribution to the company's profits. Volume of business was high and is being maintained at present. Since the close of the financial year, the manager of our radio station, 3DB, Mr. R.C. Crawford, has retired. Mr. Crawford rendered outstanding service to our radio interests during his period with the company. Our country radio station 3LK continued its popularity with listeners, and revenues were in line with the favourable prevailing rural conditions. The satellite printing plant at Nantilla Road, Clayton, has been completed and production begun. 12 rotary letterpress units, 3 newspaper folders, and the necessary stereo plant comprise the main production elements of this project. An emergency diesel generating set ensures continuity of power requirements in the event of interruption to the electricity supply. Home and late extra editions of the Herald are now being printed at Clayton for distribution in the surrounding districts. Further development of the project will increase output to cover circulation over a wider area. Once again, the most outstanding charitable undertaking by your company during the year was the Royal Children's Hospital Appeal, when a record $778,000 was collected. Our readers, viewers, listeners, and the people of Victoria generally responded substantially to the charities launched by your company, including the Blanket Appeal, $45,388, Parcels for Pensioners, $44,959, the Sun Toy Fund raised a record $21,056, and every needy child brought to our notice was helped. Sunball and Wealth Words provided many Victorian charities with useful support. Television reflected the uncertainty of the contemporary industrial, economic, social and political scene. Operating expenditures reached an all-time high level, rising by some $1.6 million above the previous year. The cost of local programs alone increased by nearly $700,000 in the year. Although revenues improved, they are insufficient to meet the additional high operating costs. Directors examine new ways to overcome this trend, and since the end of the year, the television subsidiary company has been operating profitably. As a result of the new requirements of the government's recently introduced points system, with its demand for additional local programs and the approaching era of colour, the values of the considerable stocks of film programs held by the station have been carefully assessed. As an extraordinary item, $1,507,177 has been written off the book value of television programs held in stock to reduce them to a total value of $4,800,818. During the year, your directors approved the expenditure of $3 million to finance conversion to colour. Orders for new equipment have been placed within Australia and overseas, and construction of a new ancillary colour complex at South Melbourne is proceeding and will be ready to transmit colour on the appropriate date. West Australian Newspapers Limited showed a substantial increase in its activities and added significantly to the aggregate consolidated profits of our company. The Bendigo Advertiser not only improved its profitability, but also its circulation. Rising costs fell heavily upon this undertaking in the early part of the financial year, necessitating an increase in the selling price of the paper by 1 cent to 7 cents and an increase in advertising rates. In Papua New Guinea, the Post Courier continues to make good progress with a strong growth in circulation. Despite difficult trading conditions in the first half of the year and continuing rises in costs, trading results for the year were most satisfactory. I've previously referred to our joint arrangement with the Straits Times Singapore Limited for the production of an evening paper in Singapore called New Nation. This enterprise is proceeding satisfactorily. It is producing profits and the paper has a growing circulation. M7 Records Proprietary Limited, in which the Herald and Weekly Times Limited has a 1/4 share, did not trade profitably during the year under review. However, sales revenue for the year was triple that of the previous year, and the company has now reached profitability. New records are being released each month. The present catalogue carries 4 times the number of titles carried last year. Herald Development Limited, in which the company has a 50% interest, has been evaluating prospects of many property developments. Shareholders are reminded that the remaining issued capital in this venture is held as to 20% each by the Australasian Temperance and General Mutual Life Assurance Society Limited and Australian United Corporation Limited, and 5% each by Queensland Press Limited and Advertiser Newspapers Limited. Because of the prevailing conditions in the property development field and the doubt existing in some quarters whether current property prices will be retained, the company closely examined and evaluated in depth each project submitted to it and contemplated by it. This procedure slowed down the progress of Herald Development Limited, but since the close of the financial year, a substantial project has been negotiated which will start in 1974. Other undertakings in which your company has a financial interest all showed satisfactory results for the year. Queensland Press Limited, Advertising Newspapers Limited in Adelaide, and Davies Brothers Limited, publishers of the Mercury newspaper in Hobart, each had a good trading year. You'll recall that your company is also involved in several other activities about which publicity has been given since we last met. For some considerable time, your company has been unable to produce a Sunday newspaper in Melbourne, although this field was being serviced by one local and several interstate publications. In August last year, we entered into a joint venture with David Simon Company Limited to produce a limited Sunday newspaper printed by Suburban Printeries. The first edition was published on September 9 this year. The new venture has been well supported by both readers and advertisers. Although it is still in its establishment phase, it has a firm circulation of more than 80,000 copies each issue. We are looking forward to increases in circulation and advertising support from now on as it emerges from its early start. Acting in accordance with the authority given to them under the company's Articles of Association, your directors in October of this year reached an agreement with the principal shareholders of Geelong Advertiser Holdings Proprietary Limited, which publishes the Geelong Advertiser and operates radio station 3GL, to purchase from them their ordinary shareholding representing some 90% of the total issued capital in exchange for shares in your company. That 97% is now 100%. The basis of purchase was three fully paid ordinary shares of 50 cents each in the Herald and Weekly Times Limited, for every two fully paid ordinary shares of $1 each in the Geelong Company. The Herald shares involved amount to approximately 1,350,000 at a par value of about $675,000. These shares will be entitled to a dividend of 10 cents a share payable with the final dividend on the ordinary shares of the company. A final dividend provision has been made of $6,125,441 in the accounts to September 30, 1973. The dividend on the shares issued for the Geelong Company will make a further payment of $135,000 necessary. Because your company would be deemed to control more than the prescribed number of broadcasting licenses under the Broadcasting and Television Act with the acquisition of 3GL Geelong, the Minister approved the transfer of the Geelong station, provided your company disposed of its country radio station 3LK at Horsham and some smaller indirect radio interests in other states. Negotiations are in hand for the sale of these interests. They should be completed soon. Last year I told you your directors were exploring ways to carry out an equitable redemption of the preference shares issued by the company. Many ways have been examined during the year, most of which had to be rejected because they were unsuitable. However, our legal advisers are currently considering a plan which your directors hope will meet our needs. I've tried to give you a comprehensive summary of the activities of your company up to date. Coupled with the financial figures provided with the director's report, I believe a complete picture has been presented to all shareholders. Newsprint, which is one of our vital commodities, and which we've been able to buy at a reasonable price for some years, will rise substantially and will add further to the problem of keeping costs down in 1974. However, we think your company is well placed for the future, and we believe that we will continue to progress in this current year. The directors wish to record their thanks and appreciation of the work and loyalty of all members of the staff. The most valuable asset the company possesses is the staff, which has given very devoted service. I have now much pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, in moving the adoption of the balance sheet, the profit and for the year ended September the 30th, as at the year ended September the 30th, 1973, the profit and loss accounts the year ended September the 30th, 1973, and the reports of the directors and auditors thereon. Are there any comments, please, ladies and gentlemen?
My name is Wilson. Carol Development Limited, is it anticipated that one day this company will become a public company, a listed public company, that shareholders and the public will be given an opportunity to subscribe to it?
I'd like to be able to say yes to that, but quite frankly, we haven't reached that point of development. What we have done is to form the development company. We hope that as a result of that formation, we will have opportunities to develop properties, and as and when the opportunity presents itself, we would obviously endeavour to bring in our ordinary shareholders into the developing company. But I couldn't honestly say that at this stage we'd made a decision. Well, ladies and
gentlemen, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Is there somebody before me?
No.
Historically, the Herald Weekly Times Limited has been noted for not only its growth and sustained earning capabilities and capital employed, but it's also been of great interest to shareholders because of not so much capital issues but bonus issues in the past. Well, in the last 10 years anyway, there have been one for two bonuses. And then the more recent, which really worked out as a 1-for-2 bonus, or a 5-for-10, 150 cent share, and 20 cents return of capital. Can we take this as a trend for the future rather than a 1-for-2 bonus in scrip, that we can look forward to returns of capital rather than bonus scrip issues?
No, I think
it's a great difference.
Yeah, I think it'd be incorrect to assume that that policy was one that would necessarily follow in the future. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that any bonus issue, if there is such a another issue, would traditionally, we would hope, follow the traditional trend of our bonus allocation.
So therefore, we could expect to look forward to another bonus issue, perhaps, in 5 years' time.
I'm afraid.
In other words, we'd have to wait 5 years.
I couldn't answer that. It hasn't been given any consideration at all. Sorry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further questions, you have the resolution before you. I'll put the resolution. All those in favour, my country, I declare the resolution carried. The next business, ladies and gentlemen, is to elect directors. As you know, Mr. A.K. Thomas, Mr. D.J. Riddle and myself retire by rotation. And are eligible for and offer ourselves for re-election. Once again, I would like to refer to the fact that Sir John Williams, who has given us such an outstanding service, has decided not to seek re-election to the board. Similarly, Mr. Waters has taken the same type of decision. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you have before you, in accordance with the Companies Act, three resolutions to consider. The first is that Mr. A.K. Thomas be re-elected a director.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move, sir, that Mr. A.K. Thomas be re-elected a director of this company.
Thank you, Mr. Boss. May I have a second?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I'm a
much pleasure in seconding that motion.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the resolution that Mr. A.K. Thomas be re-elected a director. All those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, I declare the motion carried.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
The next business on the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is the appointment of Mr. D.J. Riddle for re-election as a director. May I have a proposer that Mr. D.J. Riddle be re-elected a director? Thank you very much, Mr. Scott. Yes, Mr. Scott. Thank you, Mr. Riddle. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the resolution that Mr. D.J. Riddle be re-elected a director. All those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, carried.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now I have to stand down in favour of Sir John Williams, as I'm concerned in the next resolution.
Well, acting with our traditional impartiality, ladies and gentlemen, I now take control of the meeting temporarily from Sir Philip Jones, and I'd ask for a mover and a seconder for the re-election of Sir Philip to the board of the Herald and Weekly Times.
I have much pleasure in proposing that Sir Philip Jones be re-elected a director.
Got the name,
James.
And a seconder, please.
I have very much pleasure in seconding them.
Well, all those in favour, raise their right hand, please. I declare Sir Philip Jones re-elected to the board unanimous.
And back to you, Sir Philip.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that completes the formal business of the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, before closing the meeting, with your permission, I would like, on behalf of the shareholders present here today,
and also shareholders who are not here to move a vote of thanks to you and to your board for the excellent work you have carried through during a very trying period. It is very apparent in going to some of the annual general meetings these days that the shareholders do not appear to realise their responsibility to these companies and attend the meetings and at least show the investors and other people who are interested that they are interested. I don't know how many individual members there are in the present company. It'd be interesting to know if you're present. I have asked in one or two meetings there. And if the shareholders combined and put forward their views at some of these annual general meetings, it would be very, very helpful to the directors. I mean, on several occasions, directors or the chairman gets up and he asks for a seconder or a proposer, and there's a dead silence. Nobody seems to know whether they should respond, and it must be very disconcerting, and I feel that shareholders would be doing a good deal if they took a little more interest in the company. The way this company is run is, I should say, very excellent. No fault could be found. The secretary of the company must go to no end of trouble to provide the documents that are handed out here at this meeting, where everybody knows what they are going to do and how they're going to do it. The other thing I feel with the shareholders here today, that we, with you, join in offering our regrets at the retirement of Sir John Williams and Mr. Waters. You have very well put the whole position regarding Sir John's records with the Herald and the wonderful work that he has done during the period that he has been in the chair and managed the company. It's also with regret, as far as the shareholders are concerned, to hear that Mr. Waters is indisposed and unable to be here with us in the meeting, and we would like to, if you would extend to him, our regrets and our hopes for a speedy recovery. Could I call on a shareholder to please second this motion?
Yes, I will. My name is Edward Hall. I will second that.
Thank you. All those in favour, would they please give a vote of thanks?
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I just want to make a reference to Sir John and Mr. Waters. The remarks that Mr. Barrington has made about them, I of course fully concur with. But I speak because most shareholders will realise that Sir John and also Mr. Waters, on behalf of the shareholders of the Herald, have from time to time acted as directors on other companies. And I'm particularly speaking of advertising newspapers, where we have had the honour in the past of Sir John's presence as a director, and at the moment Mr. Waters is a director. And I would like to say, therefore, how grateful we, some of the associated companies, are for the services that Sir John and also Mr. Waters have rendered. There's one other thing I'd like to say. it isn't always when a man retires from a board that it is only a matter of regret. I would like to put it slightly another way. I believe that Sir John and Mr. Waters both should be congratulated, because Sir John has had a very successful career in journalism, and in his slightly different field, so has Mr. Waters. And it is not given to everybody to have a successful career, but I'm sure that both Sir John and Mr. Waters have had such careers, and I would rather that he left this meeting feeling that we are congratulating him rather than simply sympathising with him. Generate Sir John, with your permission, sir, I do congratulate you on your career, and I hope you have every good health in the future.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as there is no other business, I'd like to thank members for their forbearance and their attendance, and declare this meeting closed. Ha ha.